Those people have to come from somewhere. And our colleges are not producing 33% more teachers than they were. As a matter of fact, probably the inverse is true. So consequently, there's going to be this continuous movement as students move from A to B. That's not going to change unless we just see the stop of it. Of course, Christian education, I think everything indicates that those numbers are going to continue to grow. So therefore, there's going to be continuous movement. I think what enamors me is why this movement and who comes.
Welcome to the BJU Press Teacher Edition podcast, where Christian educators are encouraged and inspired as we bring you interviews, practical ideas, strategies, and answer your questions about teaching in today's culture. And here's your host, Jenny Copeland.
It is no secret that education is in the spotlight and has been full of change, especially over the past few years. While there's already much going on in education, COVID certainly helped to expose education in a way that's unique and dramatic. Unfortunately, education suffered in many ways through COVID. That's no secret. We have some notable deficits, academic and social, as a result of that experience. But COVID also pulled back the curtain on what was going on in our classrooms across the country. And unfortunately, it was a terrifying sight to so many parents, particularly those with children in public education. From that, many Christian parents began to look for other options for education, bringing in an influx into the Christian schools. But you know, students aren't the only ones on the move these days. Between COVID and the rapidly deteriorating society around us, educators are also on the move. Being an educator is not for the faint of heart, even on a good day. But with the added stress and pressure of today's society, and with the agendas of culture and government around us, with the change in families and with so many other factors, Christian educators are facing incredible obstacles in just doing their daily jobs as teachers, let alone doing them in a way that is right and God-honoring. In all of this, we are seeing a historical number of educators moving from public and even private education into Christian education. Listeners, this may be you, or it may be one of your colleagues, or that may be a colleague next year. It is a great thing that brings unique challenges for you and your colleagues, and we're going to talk about all this and how we can encourage and support these educators all on today's episode of the Teacher Edition podcast. Just before I introduce today's guest, I want to welcome each of you. I'm so glad you're listening, and I hope you'll walk away with practical information, some great ideas, and encouragement in your calling as a Christian school educator. Don't forget to stop by our website, teachereditionpodcast.com, to subscribe to the newsletter and leave us a question to share on an upcoming episode. We are looking for more questions, so please take a minute, come up with something you would like to ask, and then leave us a short message. Your question will be included on an upcoming episode, and one of our fantastic guests will provide you and all listeners with some great feedback and insights. I want to remind all of our listeners to follow us on social media. As a reminder, we are Teacher Edition Podcast on Facebook. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok at Teacher Edition Pod. Again, that is Teacher Edition Pod. Also, if you are enjoying the show, would you help us get the word out about the show by leaving us a rating and a review? With your help, we can encourage educators around the world through this podcast. So let's get to today's episode. We are honored to have Edward Earwood with us today. Edward has been serving in Christian education for 45 years. He has served as a teacher, athletic director, administrator, pastor, and currently he is the executive director of the South Carolina Association of Christian Schools, and he serves on the board of the American Association of Christian Schools. He has degrees in Bible, secondary education, and educational administration, as well as a specialist degree in education. Edward is also an author, and he works extensively with accreditation for schools, as well as with tax credit scholarships for exceptional needs students. He has a wife and three daughters, who, interestingly enough, are all Christian educators, and nine grandchildren. And I'm here to say I have known Edward and Debbie for years, and they bleed Christian school service. They love Christian education, and really, they have given their lives to it. This is their daily work. They really are Christian school giants, and I am so thrilled to have Edward here on the show today. So, Edward, thank you for your time today. It's so good to have you on the show.
It's great to be here, Jay. I appreciate you having me on.
So I opened the podcast talking briefly about some of the changes that we've seen in education, and I'm guessing you could provide even more insights on those changes and shifts. I wondered if we could focus on the incredible number of educators moving from public, or we could even say private schools, into Christian schools. I have heard this over and over as I'm in conferences and schools around the country. So what are your thoughts on that? Why is there a continuous and increasing movement of teachers from public education into Christian schools?
You hinted at it at the beginning of the show. We see the influx of students into private Christian education. And obviously, students demand teachers. Groups of teachers demand administrators. And so there's a shortage not only in the public sector, but there's a shortage in our sector. So I think that it's a natural thing to see that movement. They've got to come from somewhere, and we can't just create them. And as you know, for a long time, that we've been producing too few to fill the needs. And so we've been moving back and forth. I was looking at some of the incredible stats that I saw relative to this here just a week or two ago. And one of the stats that I saw that just really caught my attention was that 75% of the teacher movement was from private to public. So private educators were saying, hey, a lot of the teachers were moving. 75% of the movement was that way, and it's almost reversed now. And so you're seeing this because of the growth in the schools. And so there's going to be that, and it's going to be a continuous movement. You're going to see more and more coming over. And that makes sense because there's fewer left. There's only a set number. There's a fixed number of students, right? So, for example, in the last 10 years, SCAC's enrollment is up 33%.
Wow.
Obviously, we need 33% more teachers. Those people have to come from somewhere. And our colleges are not producing 33% more teachers than they were. As a matter of fact, probably the inverse is true. So consequently, there's going to be this continuous movement as students move from A to B. That's not going to change unless we just see the stop of it. And of course, Christian education, I think everything indicates that those numbers are going to continue to grow. So therefore, there's going to be continuous movement. I think what enamors me is why this movement and who comes.
Let's talk about that. Why are so many teachers coming from public education into Christian? And you know, you mentioned private. I'm guessing you're meaning Christian schools.
Well, I'm saying
that.
Private Christian.
Yeah.
Because some people interchange those, but I look at it just really from the Christian perspective.
Yeah.
Here's what the statistics say if you ask the teachers in a nebulous fashion. I say nebulous fashion, but in a generic sense. Why is it you're moving? About a third of them will say it's for personal or family reasons, okay? One of the keys there is this. Many of these public educators have already been for the last multiple decades, but are really in the last 10 years and from COVID on for sure, they're sending their children to our schools. And so those parents who have always enjoyed going to the local public school and their children being in the classroom down the hall, don't see that anymore. And they're educators and they're tied. And so they cite it that way, family or a personal reason. Some of them, almost more than 25%, cite pay or benefit. And I'm thinking, wow, because we always think that the reverse. What they're talking about are the benefits, and they're not talking about tangible benefits. They're talking about the benefits that come to them that have nothing to do with the pay, because obviously, the financial benefits are not going to be as beneficial, we'll say it that way, in most Christian school settings. And certainly the other benefits, retirement, though we have retirement programs, probably we're not getting some of the retirement benefits that the state is. And nothing wrong with those, and I'm thrilled for those that get them. But it was interesting to me that more than a fourth of the teachers cited benefits, and it was always the intangible. And so I think that is something that's really surprised me. The main reasons given by most public school teachers for leaving the Christian schools were unrelated to teaching issues.
Interesting.
Yeah, that really, because here you think a teacher, But the reasons they're citing have nothing to do with teaching. It's the extraneous issues. So I thought that was interesting. So I think there are some challenges for these teachers, but I think many of them have gotten to a point where they're beyond that. And once a few of them break that barrier, there are going to be others.
Absolutely. So I know we agree that there are some wonderful Christian teachers in the public school system. For one reason or another, they've chosen to serve and be a light there. Now they're looking to serve at a Christian school. You know, to some, it may seem like teaching is teaching. It's also no secret that Christian schools often struggle to find credentialed educators to fill their positions. So getting applications is a welcome sight for them, kind of as you've already mentioned. But as I've heard again and again from teachers and administrators, that with that blessing of additional applications also comes the need to identify potential differences in experience, and then secondly, to create a model for support in that transition from public education into Christian. Talk with us about some of the challenges that you see administrators facing when onboarding faculty who are coming over from public education.
Well, one of the things that jumps out is this: discerning why the teacher is seeking to apply.
Sure.
So it's always, as you know, from having served in leadership in a Christian school, parent walks in with Johnny and Susie, and one of the first questions you try to discern is, why do these people want to put their children in our school? And you get a myriad of reasons. Rarely do you ever get the right reason, but you get a myriad of reasons. You know, you'll get safer schools, smaller classrooms. I mean, you can just go down the list, and you know what I'm talking about. Well, that's kind of where that puts these administrators. And you have to put yourself in the shoes of these administrators. I remember being the administrator of a Christian school in another state. I'm thinking, if I could get three applications for that position, wow, I would think I'd died and gone to heaven.
For sure. Yeah. Not a lot of choice, typically.
And usually, three applications meant that I was still going to choose the lesser of three choices. Oftentimes, I didn't have a quality choice. What was I then going to do? I had administrators tell me I had 10 people applied for that job the first week it was open. I wouldn't know. But I interviewed them, and there were huge gaps in my expectations and their expectations in all 10. So I think that is and can be a real challenge. Another thing that can be a problem is not just discerning why, but getting that teacher to be able to identify why. We realize that if the teacher doesn't know why they want the job, at some point, they're going to become frustrated in their new position as well. So I think helping them discern and identify the why is somewhat of a challenge. Did they leave because they had a bad experience? One administrator told me just this week, I was trying to help him, he said, I hired the teacher from the local public school during the Christmas break.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, why? She had left her job or was considering leaving her job. And in the interview, she said, this was her reason. He said, why are you leaving? She said, I couldn't take it anymore.
Oh, wow.
And he said, the first red flag that went up to me was, if I hire this lady, I realized that I'm in a recovery mode.
Right.
And so he hired her and put her simply as an observer in a classroom for the entire second semester. He said, you just need some healing time. I mean, I can't put you in with students when that's here. But getting her to admit that, he said, I hire them all the time. They give me. So I think part of it's just getting them to see why it is they need to move.
Yeah.
Another challenge for the administrator dealing with students in onboarding is being able to identify their strengths. So if I hire a teacher out of college, I assume she's probably got some strengths, some weaknesses, but you realize everything's in the growth mode. You hire a teacher that's got 10 years experience somewhere, not only is she bringing some skill sets to you, but she's probably bringing some baggage to you as well.
For sure.
And, you know, I remember my dad used to tell me, every traveler brings their luggage. And so you have to make that assumption, and that's not a put down to the teacher, it's true for all of us. And so finding those strengths, what is it that I'm wanting a 10-year teacher to be able to be strong? For example, BJU Press does a great job with biblically integrating their materials. But a teacher with 10 years experience in the public school probably has no idea.
For sure.
You know, you say, why would they be weak there? Well, it doesn't mean they're not a Christian. It just means that they never taught with that structure. As a matter of fact, many of them have had to tiptoe around some of those things.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And so that becomes a little bit of a strain. The other thing is they're often very skilled in technology integration. They're very skilled in teaching a particular subject. But in a small Christian school of several hundred students, they're going to be teaching every fourth grade subject, not the one they're strongest in four times.
And probably coaching, too.
And probably coaching, and probably who knows what else.
That's right. And
going a step further than that, they're also going to have additional preparation.
Sure.
They're not accustomed to that. You know, average high school teacher in a public school probably has two preparations. And I would say in a Christian school, it's got to be five. In the high school, could be four, but usually five.
Right.
So in a seven-period day, they're probably teaching five times, and they could be teaching five different subjects. And for a teacher that's been in the Christian school for 10 years, they've had some course development. These others, it's like they start drinking from a fire hydrant, and they're 10 years in. And so that can become a real challenge. And one other thing that I was thinking about is this, classroom management.
True.
Classroom management has often been punishment-reward model. A lot of Christian schools certainly use at least some mix of a discipleship model in that. And that's a different mindset, especially for teachers who, you know, have students rotate through in the elementary school. They're with them, say, 1 hour. It's more of a punishment reward model. So those are things that can be frustrating to the teacher as well as to the administrator, because he has to see them as challenges with those teachers moving in. And then I think there's some challenges from the teacher's side. I probably wouldn't see it the way all teachers would see it, but I can just imagine teachers have a certain level of expectation. This is what classrooms like. And they're going to show up the first Monday and like, wow, this is nothing like what I expect.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was actually going to be my next question to you is, okay, those are definitely challenges for the administrator. But what about the teachers coming in? I mean, this is culture shock to be able to talk and pray and share Christ. But there are also all those logistical things that are so different too. Do you have any others you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, I was thinking about it from the teacher's vantage point. So one of the things that I learned when I was hiring teachers as an administrator, I always liked to hire teachers, if I could, who had a Christian education themselves.
Yeah.
But if I had a choice, it was just as important to me that they went to a Christian high school as if they went to a Christian college. Because a lot of times, kids that went to a public high school, even if they went to a Christian college, had no idea what a Christian school, high school classroom should look like.
Right.
So we actually had a good track record of our students graduating, going, in many cases, to a secular institution, but then returning and teaching at our school or another Christian school. Because they knew what a Christian school was supposed to look like, rather than vice versa. Many graduate from a public high school. So I think that's it, getting a grasp of it. And also, is the teacher looking at it as a profession, which she should, but is she looking at more as a calling? And you have to have a mix of that in a Christian school. And I've talked to many public school teachers who are like, look, I'm marking the years off the calendar to get to retirement so that I can go do what I really want to do. And I'm thinking, you know, if you approach the Christian school that way, it's going to be a long year for you and the students. So
the students,
those are some of the things I see from the teacher's vantage.
Yeah, that's so insightful. It is such a tremendous blessing to see so many who are interested in being in a Christian environment, and not just as a reprieve from the agenda and environment of the public education system, but with a heart to help lead and guide the next generation of Christ. And as you mentioned, like, seeing what their motive is, looking for their heart, that's so important. And it's important that we understand the changes that these individuals are facing so that we can support them. And as they face a new environment, we can help bring them along. And then, as you mentioned, just presenting from a biblical worldview, it's so important we support them. And that a teacher can love the Lord and love their students, but teaching from a biblical worldview can be so foreign to them. And it's so important we come alongside, starting all the way back in the hiring process, all the way taking them into the classroom, coming alongside them. So that's definitely a lot to consider. As we wrap up, do you have any other words of advice or thoughts on this that would be helpful to our listeners?
I will expand it just a little bit. Think about the transfer in administration. We have Christian schools that are hiring administration from a public sector. And that is even a bigger jump. But it happens all the time because, to me, probably one of the hardest positions to hire is a Christian school administrator.
Yeah, agreed.
There's just not a lot of them there. And so a lot of times that happens. As a matter of fact, I've walked through it probably half a dozen times right here in Scatney, South Carolina this year. We've probably got 4 to 6 right now. And they'll call me and they're like, I know this is the dumbest question you've ever heard, but, and just the things that they had no idea that were part of Christian school administration. So I think setting up, you've said it well, setting up a support system, thinking through what is going to be the gap. For example, an administrator, very few assistant principals or even principals in the public sector have ever worked with a budget.
Sure.
Right.
Oh, and we do a lot of that in Christian education.
Exactly. And I mean, the first time I said to this administrator, I'm like, have you started the budgeting process for next year? They're like, I have no idea where to start. I've never run a school budget in my life. They've been an administrator for 10 years, but that's not on their to-do list,
right?
Which I understand. So that can't be assumed knowledge. Other things, many of them have no curriculum experience. They had a curriculum specialist at their school. Or what about teacher supervision? They're like, I didn't observe teachers. That wasn't my job. And now they're, you don't have to be the master of all of them, but you better be a jack of multiple trades. And so I think just thinking through the support system, and it's not going to be a plug and play. And that's, I think, unfortunately, what we thought it would be. And so for those reasons, I think we've seen a lot of challenges.
Yeah, such a great opportunity to come alongside, be a mentor, be a blessing and a support. Edward, I appreciate your wisdom and experience. You bring so much of that to the table. So thank you for what you shared today, but thank you also for what you do every day in Christian education. It's been such a privilege. I know you're so busy. So thank you for your time on the show today.
Hey, it's been a real privilege, Jenny. I appreciate you having me on. Let me know if I can ever help you with anything. Very glad to do it.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. I hope you were challenged and encouraged as I was. Remember to go to teachereditionpodcast.com to submit questions for upcoming episodes. Of course, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and follow us on social media. Now it is time to get back to your day. But remember, it's not just any day, because every day in the classroom is your day to impact and inspire through God's power and through His grace working in you. Go do what God has called you to do.